All right. You guys ready? You guys ready for a word from the Lord? This is the last of the I Am series, and I'm gonna get to preaching at some point. Next week, I want you guys to be prepared. I want you to invite people to church. I want you to invite people every week, but specifically next week, invite people to come to church. All right? I've got a message that I haven't even written yet, but God's spoke so much to me on the topic. It's going to be holy. It's going to be all about holiness, about living holy in this life. And I think it's going to be an awesome word from the Lord that's important for our Christian walk. And it's still going to apply to the unsaved too. So invite people to church. It's the same message I'm going to preach at the Church of God. That's next week, that I won't be here right at the beginning probably, but I'll be here sometime during worship. So be prepared for that. Invite people, okay? Everybody brings a friend. We'll give you I'll throw out the little Snickers or something like I do with the youth. I'm just kidding. Maybe we'll have them by the door and you can get them when you come in. And your friend can have one too. All right, I'll stop pretending like you guys are kids. Some of you are. Invite your friends. You. Yeah, you're a kid. Invite your friends. All right, I'm going to get back to my message now. All right, so far we've looked at six of the I Am statements that Jesus made in the Gospel of John. And the purpose, again, is to see these revelations of who Jesus is, to know who he says he is. The first week we had, I am the bread of life, and we had, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then today, I don't believe that it's coincidence that they're in this order. Today, the last one is, I am the vine. And I preached on this a while back in November, I believe, a message called Abide. And this is coming from a little bit of a different angle, but we look at this message about I am the vine. And when Jesus speaks in these metaphors, we have to kind of understand what the significance of a vine and a branch and how they work together to be able to understand this. And at this time, when he's speaking to his disciples, they obviously understand it. That's why he's speaking this way. So today we're going to kind of look at that. And we need to understand the significance of the vine, how important it is. The vine is the source. We need to understand how important it is for Jesus to be our source. He needs to be our focus for both today and for tomorrow. You believe that? Jesus needs to be our focus today and tomorrow. Just as the previous I Am messages, he is the one that fulfills the longing in our soul. He is the one that exposes darkness in our lives, in the world. He's the one that protects and directs us. He's the one that restores life. He's the one that provides a way out. He is the source of all things, the one which we must be connected to, which is what we're looking at today. So if you could turn to John chapter 15, I want to get pretty much right into the words so we can get going on this. But John chapter 15, I'll be starting in verse 1. And I'm going to pray while you guys are turning there. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. God, we esteem your word so highly above every other thing in our life, Lord, that your word is truth, that your word is pure, it is perfect, there is no contradiction, Lord. This word is perfect and holy, and we are thankful that you've given it to us, Lord. And we just pray that today, as we open it, as we read from your word, that you would give us today revelation of who you are, Lord. As we look at you giving the disciples revelation of who you are and those around, Lord, we just pray that today each and every person would have a revelation from your word. Teach us and lead us by your Holy Spirit. And we just pray that you would be exalted through every single thing that we learn today, that we would use it for your glory to advance your kingdom on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, John chapter 15, verse 1. I'm going to read 1 through 8 first. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, just before this passage right here, Jesus was telling the disciples about the Holy Spirit, that he's going to go away, that the Father is going to send a helper that will abide in them forever. Okay, this text is about us abiding in Christ, the vine, but he says, my Father will send a helper that will abide in you forever. But there's a condition. If you want to read this, this is in John chapter 14. There's a condition to that helper abiding in you forever. He says the Holy Spirit will abide in them forever if you love me and keep my commandments. You will keep his commandments if you love him. That's what he says. So to keep his commandments simply means this: obedience. Obedience to what Christ tells us, to what he is leading us to do. Jesus is the giver of life. He's the source of life, and without him, we can do nothing, so we have to stay connected to him, the source, the vine. And in John 15, chapter 15, verse 1, he started with, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So here again, he's speaking to people in a way that they can understand. He uses these metaphors and analogies and things that people can relate with, because God wants to help us what? Understand. He never tries to confuse or deceive us. That's not God. So when he starts with this statement, they had just left. If you read the very end of chapter 14, they had just left the upper room, heading for the garden where Jesus would pray to the Father just before his betrayal. So this is right before that. And I kind of picture as they're walking, I don't know how long of a journey that was, how long of a path it was, but I picture as they're walking that maybe they probably walked by a vine or something, and he maybe pulls a piece of it off and like is explaining it to him. It's just what I picture when I read this, because again, he's trying to relay this information in a way they can understand. And I see him pointing it out like, see, this is the vine, these are the branches, see, this part's withered. And he kind of probably tells them like that. And that's just my thought. That's not truth necessarily, but this is perfect timing for his teaching. These men, again, have been just been informed that Jesus is going away, just like last week. They had been informed just before that he was going away, but this time he tells them that I'm going away, but my work is going to continue through you. That's what he tells them, and that's a word for you today. Jesus' work continues through us. Through who? Us, right? Do you believe that? Every one of you, Jesus' work can continue through you. So he tells them this, but how can they continue the work of Jesus if they don't know how to produce the same fruit that Jesus produced, right? It was kind of like when they went to cast out the one demon and they couldn't do it. You remember that? Somebody comes to him and they're like, yeah, we went to your disciples and they couldn't do it. And Jesus is like, yeah, because this takes prayer and fasting. Okay? They didn't know that. So here, the same way. How are they supposed to produce the same type of fruit that Jesus did? They have to know, what do I have to do this? So this passage, again, is just as important to us today, because for us to become a genuine disciple of the Lord, we have to know how to bear the same fruit that he bore on this earth for his glory. Because what is our mission? Does anybody remember our mission? Don't look at the back of your bulletin. Anybody remember our mission? Making disciples. Yeah, for his kingdom, for his glory. Making disciples for his kingdom, for his glory. That's our mission. You can look on the back of your bulletin. It's on there. I didn't want anybody cheating like you guys did earlier with the screen up here. But, okay, so if that's our goal, we have to know, how do we do that? Jesus reveals himself here not just as the vine, but what does he say right before that? He is the what? The true vine. He says, I am the true vine. Now, why would he say that? If you look back in the Old Testament, there's many instances where Israel is referred to as a vine or as a vineyard. And Jesus is saying, in contrast to Israel, which has been disobedient and unfruitful, I am the true vine. He's the real deal. He is what we really need to be focused on. He provides a way for a new and fruitful people. That's what Jesus did. He provides, as this is right before he goes to the cross, and he's saying, I am the true vine. I'm getting ready to provide a way for a new and fruitful people. The church. The church is getting ready to birth from this. A new and fruitful people, but it all starts with the vine. It all starts with the source. We can't be fruitful if we're not connected to the source. So these disciples, they need to remain connected to Jesus, relaying on not only what he showed them, but what he taught them. And they have to do that in order to be fruitful. Just as we today in the church, if it's not about Jesus, if he's not our focus, if he's not our source, then guess what? We're not going to bear fruit that lasts. We can only bear fruit that lasts by being connected to Jesus, to the true vine, by him being the source. Listen, of everything we do, if we do something in this church that seems like a good idea, but it leaves out Jesus, it may be a good idea, it may look good at the moment, it may look good for the next couple of days, and the fruit from it will not last. It's all about Jesus. He's the source. It's why on Wednesday nights, we love to have fun. And by the way, that is going very good. I think everybody involved is having a blast. But we want these kids to have fun. But more importantly, we want them to know Jesus. I don't care if we only have just one kid here. Just one. If he knows Jesus, then that's fruit that will last. If they just come and have fun and they have a good snack and play some fun games, what good is that? They may go home and or go to school and tell their friends, and they may have more friends come, but it doesn't bear fruit that lasts. As they grow older, it's not cool anymore. They don't come, and they go to hell. Okay, that's not our goal. Our goal is fruit that lasts. So if Jesus is the true vine, then all others are counterfeit. Every other one. So consider, what vines are you connected to? Each and every one of us, myself included, what vines are you connected to? What do you consider to be so important in your life that you can't live without it? What do you consider to be so important? Is your vine relationships? Is it popularity? Is it money, possessions, or even this church? Listen, this church is not your vine. Jesus is the vine. Now, just as a person in your life can be someone that leads you closer to Christ, and there's people in my life that I feel like I could not do without, but Jesus is the one that I truly cannot do without. Just like this church, I love this church. I don't ever want to go anywhere else. That's because Jesus is the focus of this church. He has to be the focus. It can't be any other thing in our lives. So consider those things. None of those things, even this physical church, can be your life source. It has to be Jesus. It has to be the true vine. He has to be what you depend on and what you rely on. That's why we need a personal relationship. That's why coming here on Sundays is not enough. It's not. It's just not enough. You have to rely on the true vine. You can't rely on the church. Now, we are here for you guys, and we'll do anything for you, but this can't be your source. It has to be Jesus. You have to pursue him on your own. Amen? You guys receive that? So, it takes faithfulness to be connected to the vine. You guys realize that? It takes sacrifice. It takes faithfulness. And today's flaw, the flaw in today's Christian, is that Jesus is not a quick fix. A lot of Christians today's Jesus is the quick fix. They come in, they have an encounter with Jesus on Sunday, and they're good to go for the week. He's not a quick fix that you just come in on Sunday and he saves you, and then you're good to go for the rest of the week until next Sunday, unless there's trouble, right? I mean, I've been there before. I've been in that place where I just lived Sunday to Sunday unless there was trouble. If there's trouble on Tuesday, Lord help me. That's like the guy with the branch hanging from the branch from last week, you know? Lord help me. And then you don't really want his help anyway, not unless it's what you want him to do. We have to get out of that mindset. The Christian life it's simple. It's a life of position. Where are you positioned? Are you positioned in Christ? If you are, you're set, all right? Everything else is going to be peaches and cream. That's what the Bible says. Not true, all right? Things are still going to, we still live in a fallen world. There's still hell all around us, all right, so to speak. But when we abide in the vine, we have the source for everything that we need to make it through this life. If we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 39, it says, "Height nor depth nor anything, any other thing created shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The great love is in Christ. We're talking about position. Remember, I said that the simplicity of the Christian life is position, being positioned in Christ. We need his great love. You have to be in Christ to experience that great love, to really understand it, to really experience it. We have to be in him. We have to be united with him to show his love to others, right? You guys understand that? And I try to explain it like this. I explained it to the youth a couple years ago that there was a time where I loved my wife. I married her. And I thought everything was great until I really knew the love of Christ. That's why God gives the marriage, the correlation between husband and wife, the same as Christ in the church. Until I realized how much Christ really loved me, I didn't love my wife the way that I ought to. I'm just being real with you. I don't believe that it's really possible. I don't believe that it is, because true love, genuine love, is in Christ. God is love, right? So if you don't have God, if you don't know God, you don't know love, because God is love. We know what we think of on this earth as love, which is typically something else, but I'm not going to get into that. We have to know Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ." Our eyes are opened in Christ. Again, it's about positioning. We get in the presence of the Lord. We are in Christ. Our eyes become open. Amazing grace. I once was blind, but now I see. It's not just a good song. That's truth. When we're in Christ, our eyes are open. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus," right? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, "who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." How much condemnation is there in Christ? None. There is no condemnation. When we feel condemned, I'm going to tell you when it happens. It's when you step out of Christ. You know how I know that? Because it says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. This word is true. That means it's not a, well, I'm in Christ and I feel condemned. Well, then you stepped out. You need to get back in. When we step out of Christ and we try to do things on our own, we lean on our own understanding and use our own wisdom, condemnation is sure to follow, all right? Because we're weak at that point. We're out of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, it says, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. When we are weak, you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. In Christ, you have great wisdom, real wisdom. You have to be in position to obtain this godly wisdom, position in Christ. James chapter 1 says that if we ask for wisdom, what? We'll receive it. It will be given to us if we ask for it. God will give it to us, but guess what? You have to be in Christ. You have to be in position to receive that, to have access to that wisdom from God. It's in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through this diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. He leads us to triumph in Christ. Our victory is in Christ. Victory is in Christ. If you're in Christ, he will lead you to victory. Guess what? Because he's already victorious. And if you're in him, you're victorious, right? It's all about position. If you're in him, then that same victory that's his is yours. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Right now you have access if you're in Christ. Your spiritual authority is the same spiritual authority of the one true King. I shared this a while back. I think I shared this on a Sunday morning where we were talking about this in youth. And I asked them, how can we be here and be in Christ at the same time? And I had a kid sitting right next to me, and he's just like, well, duh. He's like, it's because you're sitting right there, and you're also seated with Christ. I was like, very well said. That's exactly true. I don't know if he knew what he was talking about, but it sure sounded good to me. But he's right, okay? We are seated in heavenly places right now. Right now, we have that access. And then finally, Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We as a church are one body only if we're in Christ. Only if we're in Christ. If we're in Christ, we're united. That's where unity comes from. It's when we're in Christ. He is the source, and when we're in him, we become united with one another and with him. That's good. I believe that's the qualification for a successful church right there, is a body of believers that are in Christ. So Jesus is the vine. He's the source, and the vine gives the branches the nutrients that they need so that they can bear fruit. If you cut away a branch from the vine, it dies. That's why you have to stay connected. So when he says in chapter 15, John 15, 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser, he says that he's the vine, he's the source, he gives us the nutrients, he gives us what we need. The Father is the vine dresser. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I want to focus more on the vine, but the vine dresser or gardener takes care. He provides care and protection for the vineyard. He watches over the vineyard. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." I don't know about you, but for me, it's comforting knowing that nothing happens outside the view of my Heavenly Father. All the questions, you see it throughout Scripture, and you see it even in Revelation, like, "Lord, when are you going to avenge us?" Okay? Don't worry about that. Vengeance is the Lord's. He will repay. When? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Have comfort knowing that nothing happens outside the view of our Heavenly Father. He keeps watch on the evil and on the good. He sees it all. Now, moving on in John chapter 15, verse 2 through 4, he says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So you notice here there's two types of branches. There's branches that do not bear fruit, and there's branches that do bear fruit. I know it's not very complicated, but we see that Jesus says that this branch that does not bear fruit, that the Father takes it away. Now, Jesus is not referring to believers that are unfruitful. So like, you're sitting here in the pews and you're like, "Man, I haven't been fruitful and I'm a believer, so God's going to take me away." It's not what he's referring to here. He's talking about pretenders. He's talking about those who put on a show pretending to be connected to the vine and in reality they're not. He's speaking to 12 people right here. One of them does not bear fruit. Judas, right? That's who he's speaking to, 12 people right here. He is one that God is speaking to, that Jesus is speaking to. If we look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, we're warned, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by what? Their fruits." You will know them by their fruits. "Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them." So, we, back then and still today, there are many false prophets or pretenders that pretend to be Christians, but in reality, they have selfish, destructive purposes. And how do we identify them? By their fruit. More importantly, it's how does God identify them? Sometimes it's our job to identify them, okay? If there's people in the church and leadership that are not bearing good fruit, they're bearing bad fruit, we need to identify them. We need to talk to the other leaders. But most importantly, it's how does God identify them? It's not just simply by what they say, and it's what we're warned. You don't just look at what they say. They can say anything. You look at their character. You look at their life. You look at those over which they have influence. You look at their teachings. A fruitless branch or a branch that bears dead fruit cannot represent a real Christian. I don't believe that in this verse. He's not talking about Christians. And I know it can be confusing because it says that he's in me and then he gets cut off and cast away. But read through it, study it on your own. Every Christian bears good fruit. Some might bear more fruit than others, but they all bear good fruit, okay? Not bad fruit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for" what? "Good works. For good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." the fruit of our salvation is good works. Good works is not our salvation. Good works is the fruit of our salvation. That means it's not a means of obtaining salvation. It's just evidence of salvation. See the difference? In James chapter 2, verses 17 and then 22 says, "So also faith by itself, it does not have, if it does not have works, is dead." And then 22 says, "You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works." Christians, because of their faith, produce good works. They bear good fruit. Therefore, these branches that do not bear fruit must not be believers. These fruitless branches are cut off for the good of the vine. So the second type of branch is those that bear fruit. This would be us. This would be believers. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So for us as believers, the Father prunes us for our good so we can be more fruitful. He actually prunes us for his good, so we can be more fruitful. That word prune literally means to cleanse of filth or impurity. So here are some reasons. This is not Bible right here. This is reasons that we prune a plant. But think about how this would apply to us as the Father prunes us. Reasons we prune a plant, and this is from a pruning article. I'm going to try to keep this here, Anthony, sorry. I keep saying prune plant in here. It's not very good for you guys, but all right. So a few reasons that plants are pruned: to improve the look or the health of the plant. I receive that. To correct irregular growing habits. I'll take that too. To bring an earlier bloom period. How many of you want that? All right. To aid in controlling disease and pests. I'll take that. All right. These are reasons that you prune actual plants. And another reason is, when you prune a plant, it can cause a flower and fruit size to skyrocket. Now, how many of you want to be pruned? I sure do. If you want to apply all those things spiritually to me, I'll take them all. Yes, please, Father. So now, how many of you want to be pruned? I want to make sure that some of you don't. Some of, like, a couple of you know what I'm going to say because you don't want to be pruned. All right. Come on up. No. All right. So, how does this work? For the same reasons here, the Father prunes us, that because when we allow things into our lives that hinder our walk with Jesus, we enter into this danger of being pruned. And guess what? Sometimes pruning is painful. How many of you have been pruned and it hurt? I've had some things cut out of my life, especially if it's something that you don't want to give up. Pruning is particularly painful, right? Now, as we are pruned by the Father, sometimes the Word of God reveals problems to us. We look at James chapter 1, verse 22 through 24. It says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets the kind of man that he was." We need the Word of God to reveal that stuff to us. When we go and look in the mirror and then we walk away, are we forgetting who we are? Are we still the same person? Are we in Christ? The Word of God will do that. It'll prune us. It'll show us that, hey, you're not the man that you say you are. The man that you see in the mirror, the woman you see in the mirror, that's not who you are. The Word of God will prune us. It will show those things to us. Other times, God uses his word just to cut straight to our heart, those painful experiences. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." That's what God will do when he begins to prune you. It might hurt. So think about, has God been challenging areas of your life? Is he trying to prune you? Is he trying to cut some things out? And as we look at at the vine and abiding in the vine. Apart from Christ, it says that we can bear no fruit. No fruit. How do we abide? How do we abide in the vine? Prayer, studying the word, denying self, drawing near to God. These are ways that we abide. And the closer we abide to Jesus, the more his life can flow through us and produce these fruits that he desires. Okay, I'm not going deep into the pruning and all that. You have to go back and listen to the abide message, because this is, I want to get down to the vine about Jesus. So, John 15, chapter 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So when he says that you can do nothing, Jesus doesn't actually mean you can do nothing, like nothing at all. How many of you, before you were saved or at any point in your life, were you able to do things without Jesus? Can you do things today, right now, without Jesus? Absolutely, we can. But we can do all sorts of things without him, but what we can't do is produce good fruit, which is what he wants us to do. You can't produce any good spiritual fruit or anything of eternal value without Jesus. So now you realize that in an actual vine, that fruit bearing is a passive activity on the part of the branch. That means the branch doesn't really do anything to produce the fruit. It just does one thing. It abides. It abides in the vine. It stays connected to the vine. The vine is the one that produces the fruit through the branch. Just as we, as Christians, we can't work and do things to provide good fruit. You hear me? All we do is abide. All we do is stay connected to Jesus and allow him to work through us. So as a branch has to abide to the vine, we then have to abide to Christ to allow him to produce that good fruit through us. Now, for me, that brings freedom to me. Does that bring freedom to your life? Doesn't it take some pressure off of you? You don't have to work hard to produce good fruit. You have to work hard at staying connected to the vine, right? It is hard work. It can be challenging. But that's all you have to do is stay connected to the vine. He produces the fruit. To me, that's liberty. Like, man, I don't have to worry about that. Like, I just need to worry about my connection to the vine, my relationship with Christ, and he does everything else. So, as we stay connected to him by studying his word, praying, obeying him, we become available for Christ to use. So we need to remain responsible in connecting to Jesus and allowing him to produce that fruit in our lives. Because as he said, without him, we can do nothing. So let's go a little bit further here. We cannot produce Christian character by our own efforts. If we try to, we are fake. We're imposters. We're exactly what he's talking about here. You can't produce that Christian character because it's all Jesus. In verse 6, he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So again, referring to imposter Christians. But this definition here of abide is, when you look up a word, you know there's different parts of the definition. The definition here is the in reference to. So abide is in reference to the state or condition, and it means to remain as one, not to become another or different. That's what we're instructed to do here. When we abide in Christ, we're instructed to remain as one with him, not to become another or different. If you don't remain as one with Christ, it says you're cast out, withered, and burned. So cast out literally means to let go of, to give one over to one's care. And if we look at a couple of verses, Psalm 81, verse 12 says, "So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels." And if you read Romans chapter 1, pretty much most of the chapter is about this, but I picked out a few verses here for time's sake. Chapter 1, verse 24 says, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator." In verse 26, it says, "God gave them up to their vile passions." In verse 28, it says, "God gave them over to a debased mind." These types of branches are the ones that are cast out and thrown into the fire, because one that bears no fruit is good for nothing but the fire. And again, I'm taking pressure off of you. All you have to do is remain connected to the vine. Remember, it's all about Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says, "For the earth which drinks in the rain that comes often upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it's cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to be cursed, whose end is to be burned." Fire is a biblical symbol for divine judgment. So that's why these branches, they're cut off, they're cast out, and they're burned. It's why they're not true believers. So let's put our focus back on the vine. We can all rest assured that all we have to do is focus on the vine, and we don't have to worry about any of that. Let's focus on the vine. When we abide in the true vine, what is the true vine? Jesus. We can look forward to him working in us and through us. We can look forward to his promises. That's encouraging. That's exciting to me. When we focus on the vine, we can look forward to him working in us, through us. We can look forward to all of his promises. And verse 7 and 8 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." When we abide, as we should, in Christ, as the vine, as the source, we draw our life from him. It's just like a branch being passive, right? The branch is just connected. That's all it has to do. Like, don't fall off. Just stay connected. The source of life comes from the vine. The source, our source, we draw that from Christ. And when we do that, guess what? Remember, we're passive. His will is our will, right? How many of you have thought about that before? Well, I want to pray for this, but I don't know if it's God's will. Get connected to the vine. When we are connected to the vine, his will should be your will. When we abide in him, it says that we will pray and that we will receive what we desire. It will be done. You know why? Because you're praying his will, because you're connected to him and you're focused on him and not on you. Now, there's many reasons why we don't get answers to prayer right away, but we keep asking. We pray without ceasing. You may know God's will, but we don't know his timing. And sometimes we don't know his will because we're not connected. Okay? We need to be connected, pray without ceasing. We don't know his will. Sometimes we do know his will because we're connected and we don't know his timing. So, John 15, verse 9 through 10 says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love." Jesus loves every single one of us, every single person, no matter what we've done, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But those who abide in Jesus, when we remain in him, we enter into an ever-deepening relationship with him. This is where you get to experience that love that he has for you. He does love every person. Not every person gets to experience that love, right? If you reject the free gift, guess what? You don't get to see what's in the box. They may show you the box, but you don't get to experience it. You don't get to enjoy it if you reject it. When you experience that love, when you remain in that love, and you get a true understanding of that love, you will want to obey him. That's why he says, abide in my love. If you abide in my love, you abide in my commandments. If you abide in my commandments, you abide in my love. It's all tied together because when we really understand that love, we want to obey him. We want to do things for him. And again, I'm going to put a plug in for Richard Crisco's message, love, God's obedience, God's love language. If you want to look that up on YouTube or something, it was a great message. It talks about exactly that in way more detail about how God has love for everybody else, but not everybody experiences it because it is conditional. It's conditional on us receiving it, us being obedient and following his commandments. So, Jason, if you guys want to head up, there's also a joy that is available to us. If we look at John chapter 15, verse 11, it says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So while there's a joy that's available in Christ, joy doesn't necessarily mean happy. How many of you realize that joy doesn't just mean happiness? Joy is this. It is a deep, settled inner pleasure that comes from knowing Jesus. It says in the Old Testament, in I think Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, when we remain in him, that joy remains in us. But not only does it remain in us, remains in there means that it will be full, filled to the brim, complete. That joy that the Lord can give us will be full, complete joy. This joy is unaffected by earthly things. You realize that? That's why we need to walk in his joy, righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We need that joy because that joy is not affected by earthly things. God's joy abides at all times, even in difficult times. His joy still abides. Knowing our standing in Christ, which is what we've been talking about here, being connected to the vine, that produces joy. And how can we not be joyful when we have Jesus? The vine is good. Jesus is good. His desire is to live through us for one reason, that we may bear fruit pleasing to our Heavenly Father. That's why he wants us to remain connected, so he can bear that fruit through us to please the Father. So in closing, just consider, are you in the vine? Every single person, myself included, I'm reflecting upon this. Are you in the vine? Have you been saved and grafted into Christ? Are you abiding in the vine? Are you remaining in the vine? Is the vine the source that you draw your strength from? Or is it other things on this earth? Do you allow Christ to produce fruit through you? And are you bearing that fruit for him today? Now, we have to bear the right kind of fruit. Remember? Good fruit. The Jews thought that they were serving God with the truth. All the Pharisees, they thought they were serving God. They were serving themselves, and they were poisoning all those that they influenced. Poisoning them. Instead of leading them to God, they were leading people farther away from God. That's the difference in bad fruit and good fruit. There is bad fruit. I mean, I made lots of bad fruit. I tried to make my sister bad fruit. I remember trying to pay her to say cuss words. Yeah, that's the kind of person I was. I was terrible. Praise Jesus that he's done an amazing work in my life. And she wouldn't do it, by the way. And she was in high school. And she wouldn't do it. We can make bad fruit. And bad fruit you can make on your own. Actually, we'll get into a theological discussion there, but bad fruit you can make on your own, but it's really at the influence of the enemy because there's only good and evil. There's only light and dark. There's no gray. But we need to consider today if we're connected to the vine, if there's more that we need in our lives, if you need to receive that joy that Jesus provides when we're connected to him. And I want to open up the altars just for a little while, and I want to do a couple of things. Ben and I will be over here on this side to pray with you. If you'd like to have us pray with you, stand in faith for anything, okay? Anything at all, doesn't matter what it is, we will pray for you. On this other side here, I want to allow you guys to come up on your own, give things over to God if you have things you need to get off your chest. Listen, don't let today, I've been in those pews where I think, I don't really need that today. Why wouldn't you need it today? If you have a need in your life, just what Tasha was saying earlier, you realize that there's no need to wait. Why in the world would you want to wait? If you have a gift for me, give it to me now. I don't want to wait. If you've already bought my birthday present, give it to me today. But seriously, Jesus has, I mean, it's been said even in this place before, it's like he's standing right here with the gift for us, and we just sit over there like, I don't want it today. I'll wait until later. We need him to touch our lives. We need him to work in our lives, and we just think, I'll just do it later, or I'll do that on my own. Okay, I'm about to get real with somebody. If you're going to say in your mind right now that you're going to do it on your own, then do it. Don't sit there and say to myself or to yourself that I'll do this on my own. I'll pray about this when I get home. Because you said that last week, and you said it probably the week before that. And if you're not going to do it, then what's the point? You have a God, a Lord, and a Savior who's given his life for you. He's overcome the world, and all he wants is for you to abide in him. All he wants is for you to receive the blessings that he has for your life, for you to receive every single thing. Christ has given us every spiritual blessing, every single one of them. And I don't even have time to just go through and start listing all the spiritual blessings we can receive. But what I'm saying is that if you have a need, don't wait, okay? Don't wait. Come, lay it down at the feet of the King. Come, receive prayer if you need it. But don't let today be that day that you walk out of here thinking, I'll wait until next week. Because we don't know. We don't know. Every single day, we don't know. We pray for God's coming, and I was talking with some pastors yesterday about how we don't intend to die. We intend, listen, I'm the crazy pastor from Freedom Reigns in Christ Church that thinks that Jesus is going to come in my lifetime, but I'll tell you that, how many of you guys know Bob Miller? Well, he's crazy too because he's Assembly of God. Maybe I should have a different example. He's older. He believes that he's gonna take that ride through the air while he's still alive. He believes that Christ is gonna come. There's other pastors in town. I don't remember exactly who said it, so I'm not gonna say for sure and say something that's not true. But I'm telling you that we're not the only ones. There's plenty of people that are older, probably older than most of you in the room, that believe that Jesus is coming back. But listen, we don't know that. He may come back in 20 years, but are you going to be here in 20 years? He may come back in 2 minutes. He may come back in 1 year. We don't have that assurance that we can afford to wait. So I'm going to stop rambling, and I said I was done preaching, so I'm going to stop. But I'm just saying, feel free to come worship Jesus. Feel free to lay things down, receive prayer.